Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
29 minutes after 6 is your time, my family. Let me welcome Uta Dawsandi Leswana. But before I do that, I just remembered, we send our condolences, especially as the prayer community here in South Africa and in the church, to Uta Dawsandi. The family is just going through a really serious loss at this time. They've lost their son, and we just want Udada to know, because I know he sometimes listens, so we just want him to know that our prayers are with him, our heart always with him, and we continue to pray that the Lord will strengthen him and comfort him and his family during this time, and of course continue, to show his presence in throughout his ministry. Dada Dawsandi Leswana joining us on the line. Dada, good morning to you, and thank you so much for giving us your time.
You're most welcome, Ayanda, and your listeners. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. I think I've been saying this all weekend to myself, but I'm nervous. I'm nervous. I don't know how to approach this, but I'm really grateful for the opportunity, to sit under instruction and to hear what the Lord has to say to us, just to revive our conscience, I think, as the church, as a nation, and certainly as this generation of the church, especially to those of us who may be parents right now. The topic that we want to deal with, until I guess the Lord says so, in a series that is looking at the role of fathers and the importance of fatherhood, and your standpoint is that transgenerational success is created by reliable fathers and parents, just looking at the word of God. Let me just hand over to you, Dada, to take us through the foundation of this conversation.
Let me start off by maybe prefacing the presentation that I'm going to make in this way. The first thing that I will say is that, my training in theology basically was that you learn the word, but you also study the actual problems in society. That's and amazing. Apply the word of God to the actual problems in society.
Mm.
So we cannot have a spirituality that never speaks to the situation that a person is going to leave the church building and go and confront
at
home.
That's powerful.
As an example, right now, most people are struggling with cost of living. I'm just making an example.
Correct.
What does the Bible say about that? So one of the problems that our Christian brothers, let me put it that way, as well as our secular researchers have discovered, is that South Africa is one of the leading nations in the crisis of poor fathering and general fatherlessness.
Mm.
Now, we have to accept a few things before I go to the scriptures.
Mm.
The first one is that in terms of the statistics, you can accept that about 67% of our children in South Africa live in homes that do not have both the mother and the father. So what then happens is that the men, especially since 1994 in South Africa, have been abandoning both their women, ever you could use a language like that, the mothers of their children, and also abandoning the children themselves. So you have men who are free floaters around South African society, to the point that two-thirds of the children today do not have present fathers there. So there may be other explanations, but those women don't have their partner there with them, assisting them on a daily basis. The children don't have that.
Mm.
So let's then come to the topic then of fathering. The statistics that we have, also conducted by Christian researchers, are that 70% and above of children without their fathers, let's say, out of the children that commit suicide, 70% and above are the ones who don't have their fathers with them.
Mm-hmm.
Similar numbers of 70% and above of children who are in prison, who have committed crimes or dropped out of school, or who are in poverty, are all children who have been, in some way or the other, abandoned by their fathers. So the crisis of fatherhood then goes out there and breaks down society and breaks it down for across generations.
Mm.
Then let's then reemphasize your opening remark.
Mm.
My belief, and this is what I teach in my house and teach to anybody who cares to listen to me, is that success is not success at all until it is long-term success.
That's right.
And long-term success is when you say, I am successful. I have been able to mentor my children to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
We have been able to mentor our grandchildren and great-grandchildren to be successful. So our faith says to you, I am a person of faith in Christ. But when you say I'm a person of faith in Christ, then you are going to be able to say, my faith starts with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it goes from generation to generation to where we are. So the success in faith of Abraham was not kept to himself, but he was told that he would be the father of many nations.
Mm.
Not only would he succeed amongst the Hebrews or the Jews, he would then, the faith that he has, be effective and transmitted to many nations. But he had to do something about it. And in Genesis 18:19, it says, in the Amplified, for I have known, chosen, acknowledged, so that he may teach and command his children and the sons of his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is righteous and just, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has promised. So God says, I have known Abraham. I have chosen Abraham. I have acknowledged Abraham as my own. So that he may teach and command his children and his household after him, in other words, after his example, the way of the Lord by doing what is righteous and just, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has promised him. So anybody born in Abraham's household, including the children, his biological children, God trusted Abraham, that Abraham would teach all of these people the ways of God. So when you become a father, we sing a lot about Father Abraham, this, that, and the other. But when you become a father, you are entrusted the task of, if we were to use today's language, intellectual transformation. You know, Paul talks about the renewal of the mind, spiritual transformation. More than what you can do biologically to a woman to bring about a child. That is one element. The biological part is important because that's how life starts. But the next 90 years of that life has got to be sustained by proper spiritual development. And that is where you come in as a father. So Abraham had to be connected to God, be taught, developed, tested, and proved by God to be knowledgeable, skillful, and trustworthy, to teach the faith, grace, and commands of God to his entire household. That is fatherhood. So the first basis of fatherhood and all sound parenting is to know God, and to know and to be known by God. And to have his word as the foundation of teaching all your people about all aspects of life. So when you're going to be a parent, the first instrument of parenting is the word of God. So people cannot be on the right track of life if they are not exposed to the word of God. But people cannot be exposed to the word of God by a person who doesn't know God and who doesn't know the word of God. Jesus said, Lord, in the priestly prayer of Christ, says, Lord, sanctify them by your word, for your word is truth. In other words, people cannot be taken out of the world, out of the greedy world, the violent world. They cannot be taken out of there except by the word of God. When we say you are being sanctified, it does mean you are being pulled out of the world or being set aside for the purposes of God. But what then is that sanctification? It is when you are being transformed in your way of thinking and doing by the word of God. So when you say, I am a father to so-and-so, but there is no training of that person, there is no mentorship of that person, there's no education of that person, there is no ensuring through example and through words that that person is becoming more and more spiritual in nature. Right? So today we all, through faith, validly claim to be Abraham's children because we have believed. And that out of that belief, we do what is righteous and just. In reality, the bigger and the best part of fathering and parenting is in fact spiritual development of both the father and the child. Now, why is this important? A lot of people today are disappointed by their fathers and their parents, by the, including the mother. Because the person who says they want to be a father or a mother, for that matter, is a rascal. They don't know God. They don't know what they're talking about. And some of them are abusive. Some of them don't even take proper care. So, but let's then take it step by step through the scripture. It says here in Galatians 3:29, and if you belong to Christ, and you are in him who is Abraham's seed, that is the Amplified, then you are Abraham's offspring and spiritual heirs according to the promise. So, it is important to have biological children. But what God is actually looking for are spiritual children. Right? So, Paul says in another place, we know no man, not even Christ. We know no man after the flesh, not even Christ. So, a person that you know, you must know them according to the Spirit and according to the truth, which is the word of God. Even your children. Abraham became the father of many children in all nations by being an initiator and author of a faith-based lifestyle. That faith-based lifestyle is transmitted from generation to generation. Even as I sit here today, I cannot expect my children to know anything about anything, let alone a faith-based lifestyle, if I do not intentionally, systematically, and methodically expose them to that faith.
Amazing.
Right? So, but what is that? What does that lifestyle look like? In Galatians 5:18-23, Paul says the following. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the life, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against us there is no law. Now, if I say I am a father, I must demonstrate love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And then everybody that I am fathering, who is in my household, and there are many people in my household, they are my biological children, there are sometimes the children of my sisters who are not married, the so-called single mom. Sometimes their children have adopted, or I'm just helping to raise. Everybody, the children of my servants who are working there, if I have any child that comes into contact with me and I call myself a father, must experience and be taught how to demonstrate this. Love, sure. Joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Not shouting, not fits of rage, not drunkenness. Are we still together? So whenever I have chosen the angle of fatherhood today because of the national crisis that we're talking about, but in other sessions we'll go into motherhood as well. But anytime you say that you are a parent to anybody, you cannot do that without being in the Holy Spirit and in the Word of God and bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Paul teaches us that unspiritual or unchristlike behavior is obvious. And it cannot be confused with behavior that is guided by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. When you are guided by your natural senses, when you are guided by fleshly desire, and the flesh more, and the flesh more generally, it becomes obvious. In other words, you cannot be behaving in an unchristlike manner and think that we cannot see that. Because Paul says in the Bible, it is obvious. Your mind, therefore, must be fundamentally transformed and brainwashed, if you like, so that you think and act like God. Then, in that case, you become a father simply because you imitate God, the Father, the source of all fatherhood. Paul says in the book of Ephesians that all fatherhood derives this title from God, the Father. When you are saying, I am a father, you are, in essence, acting as an extension of God, because God is God the Father. Then that title, when you enter that office of fatherhood, you are entering the office of God. And there's nothing wrong with that, because the Bible says, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we need to imitate God on earth as Father by manifesting Him.
I'm looking at our time, and I don't want us to lose the essence of this point. And just as a disclaimer, I think when we discuss some of these issues, if you will please allow us, Tatane, to just go through them as slow as possible. And the reason why I ask this is because effectively what we really want is a reflective session, you know, where we listen and we stop to ask ourselves the necessary questions. As you're speaking about the real image and the manifestation of that image, I'm recognizing that perhaps there's a reason why a lot of men run away from this responsibility. You know, when we respond and act, sometimes it's not just from our frontal lobe. Sometimes these reactions are very subconscious. So maybe the fact that being a father is really an extension of God, maybe it scares a lot of people, because unfortunately in our time, you know, entering the world of fatherhood is technically quite easy, because it's a biological process that needs to happen. So not a lot of people sit down and really think about these things. Not a lot of people are discipled even before they get into that place where they covenant into being a father. What would your thoughts be, Dada, around that?
We have to be honest when we discuss things. So, as boys, we have to be taught that. You know, for instance, it was taught not in the best way, but we were taught that, family, if you impregnate again, you must know now that at that time you must go and find a job, you must stop school, go and find a job, and look after your own child. Right? Marry them and look after your own child. So that made you at least, I wouldn't have taught it that way, but it made you aware at least that if you have a child as a man, a male person, then it falls squarely on you to develop that child until they go to pass university, college, and so on and so forth. Sure. So there is a sacrifice. There are things that you need to give up. The minute you have a child, there are things you need to give up. So there's Christ-likeness in this, in the sense that, you know, Christ lays down his own life. You know, even when they talk about marriage, the they said you must be like Christ to your wife. You know, so which means that the minute you try to approach a woman who might end up having a child, then you put yourself in the position of Christ, where you are actually literally prepared to sacrifice even your very life for these people, right? So you cannot enter. You see, the part of making a woman pregnant, depending how healthy you are and what have you, it could literally take you less than 2 minutes to get a woman pregnant. Now, what then happens is that you have done something in 2 minutes, but that thing that you've done 2 minutes is going to cost you at least 60 years of your life. Right? As I'm sitting here now, I'm approaching 60 myself. My father's still alive at 83.
Oh, lovely.
Now, he's here with me, stays with me in the house. He knows, I know he's my father. He knows I'm his son. And we have to take care of each other, if you understand my meaning. So since the 1960s until today, he has got something to do. He cannot forget me. And I cannot forget him.
No, we have so, fun at that.
So we are busy with each other. But the process of creating the baby maybe took him just 2 minutes. But the involvement, the engagement, the cost, the sacrifice, the joys and the pain, then it's another 6 years.
So,
that understanding, and I want to make it, when I said we must be honest about this, I need to tell you something truthfully about it. You know, when I was at university, I took an assortment of liberties and in the process impregnated someone. Right? And you then come into that environment, you have all kinds of voices that come into that picture, others telling you that this thing must be aborted. Others telling you this, others telling you this. And I had to tell everybody concerned that anybody who has a hand in the abortion, if it ever happens, I'm going to the police about that.
Wow.
Right? Number two, if anyone is worried about raising this child, give that child to me. Right? And three, everything related to this woman and this child, I will take responsibility for it.
Sure.
Out of that, right, my son has been with me since that time. I married the man, and there's no problem, right? And we've been together all this time. I've got grandchildren and all sorts of things, right? But I have always, and I continue to do so, to teach by example and by way that a child gets born and is vulnerable. So you need to be able to go into that environment. That child is born naked. They can't see properly. They just unable to help themselves. And you need to step into that gap. And you need to be absolutely certain that with whatever little budget that you have, you know, starting out your career, you are able to look after this woman and after any one of your children. There must be no child of yours regardless of the circumstances of how that child came about, that does not get full fathering from you in terms of resources, in terms of mentorship, in terms of guidance, in terms of protection. All of those things come from you. So manhood is at the bottom of life. Of human life.
That's amazing. Dada, I'm going to ask that we pause it there for today. I think it was an incredibly rich foundation for our conversations going forward. And the reason why, for me in particular, this is particularly important, Dada, is that I can categorically tell you, as somebody, a girl child that was raised without a father, that the amount of time it took me to understand God as a father, it literally took me my lifetime. It took me, out of the 20 years that I've known the Lord, it probably took me 18 to really get it about. This is my you know what I mean? So the issue of fatherhood, it is so, I cannot even begin to explain how important it is. So thank you so much for availing yourself, Dada. I don't know if I've had this conversation with you, but I guess we can have it, you know, off air, about us just continuing with this conversation every morning until we all get the fact that every now and again, the Lord has to come back to remind us that the issue of fatherhood is central to the preservation of all life. So thank you so much for your time, Dada. We truly appreciate it. I wonder if you can just say, even if it's just 30 seconds of a prayer for us, especially for the fathers that are listening and for all the children that are listening this morning.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the word of God says in Malachi that you will turn the hearts of the fathers towards their children and turn the hearts of the children towards the fathers. My prayer is that as this word goes out into South Africa, please, rekindle, light up the spirit of fatherhood in the father, and light up a spirit, a new light among the children, to look at their fathers in a different way, and create a reconciliation in the name of Christ. Amen.
Amen, Dada. Thank you so much, Dada. We will certainly catch in with you on Sunday. We look forward to this one. Simvilu Bawo, the foundation, you know, around generational wealth, the issue of fatherlessness in our society, the characteristics of a godly father, the connection between our earthly actions and how we connect with God as a father. Sivile Dada Siambule Lubao.
I'll see you next week. Thank you. Bye.
Dr. Sandile Swana, my family, this morning joining us every Sunday. We are making way now to cross over to our church here on Radio Pulpit. Let's take a quick stink break. We want to come back with the promise of that song that we are going to be playing out with.
Umthandazo welungisa unamandla ngokugqibeleleyo. Radio Pulpit yakha umzansi Afrika nezizwe zonke ngomthandazo.
Matlafala moyeng ka go thieletsa lenana o la rena la hlala nathi la bobedi le la botlhano ka iri ya robedi thapama. Thieletsa baruti ka mehuta huta ge baruta lentjula modimo go tiisetsa tshepo pelonyagago. Thieletsa Radio Pulpit mo go 657 AM go arega moyeng.
It's exactly a minute before we cross over to 7 o'clock this morning. It's been lovely, my family. It's been lovely. I sense so many things in my heart and in my spirit, and we definitely catch up with each other next week, Sunday, between 5 and 7. Mighty big shout out and gratitude to Dr. Sandile Swana, who is going to be taking us through this, my family. I'm looking forward to it. I know we've dealt with the issue of fatherhood, by the way. We are not oblivious to that. But we must be sensitive that because this is such an incredibly important topic, there are some who have just recently joined us, you know, and there's, you know, the Bible says, when the foundations are broken, what can the righteous do? Yabona bazalwane. So every now and again, we have to stop and trace our steps and check who are we leaving behind. Wait for them if we need to, restart the program if we need to, just to get everybody on board as we pilgrimage towards Christ. We love you and a blessed week ahead.
From your ear to your heart, to your mouth, to your feet, join this life on 657 AM.
Radio Pulpit understands that praying alone isn't always easy. So, join us to form a chain of prayer for you and with you. To do so, send in your prayer requests on 067-429-7564. That is 067-429-7564. Or alternatively, email us on prayer@radiopulpit.co.za. That is prayer@radiopulpit.co.za.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.